Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and sexual deviants, welcome to another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. My name is Matt Lehman. I'm the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in La Quinta, California, where our stories are warehoused and recorded. With me, as always, Doobie.
What's up, everybody?
All right, so this episode is not for the children. If you have children, then listen to us. I can't imagine you would, because this is probably pretty boring to children. But if you do, this is not their episode. This is dedicated to all of you sexual deviants and weirdos out there that leave your pornography and your sex toys in your storage units and then don't pay your bill. Because if there was a market for used sex toys, I would be the Pablo Escobar of that market. No one could touch me. It's just the way it is. I don't know why, but I find sex toys, porn, stacks, dirty magazines, just stuff that I didn't even know existed nonstop. And how about you?
I used to not, but the last few have been pretty good in that department.
Yeah, so I'm going to start. The reason we're bringing this up is because I don't remember where or how this story came up, but how I remember the story or why it came back into my memory. It had been out of my memory for the better part of a decade is what last this happened, and I don't remember what jogged my memory, but I started thinking about this and it just started laughing. I was like, this is an absolute perfect podcast story. This happened to me. Do you have any... What's the weirdest thing that happened to you on Craigslist or anywhere selling online? Do you have any weird experiences with people or anything like that?
No, nothing that's going to compare to this story right now.
This is a topper. And I swear on whatever you want, a stack of Bibles, I'll swear on anything that this is true. In fact, my fiance will also back the story because she lived with me through this story. So I had sold a Japanese or Chinese wood-carved trifold door on eBay. You know, it's a room divider. And it was really heavy, and it was really ornately carved. It was beautiful. And I sold it online for buyer pickup. And this guy contacts me out of San Diego. Again, we're in Palm Springs area, so we're about 2.5, maybe 3 hours from San Diego, depending on how fast you drive and which way you go. And contacted me, and everything was fine on eBay through the messaging. He's like, I'm going to come this day. And I think if I remember correctly, he had decent feedback. It wasn't like super high. It was like 100 or something, 110. So I'm like, yeah, he's fine. And I think he postponed it a couple days because he wasn't sure if it would fit in his car and blah, blah, blah. But he eventually came out, and my spider sense tingled a little bit with him, but the transaction went fine because he was a little off, I would say, but not enough to make me carry a sidearm or go inside, excuse myself, and get a sidearm. He's just a little odd, and loaded up the thing and loaded up the Japanese door, and I gave him some fernie pads, and he was very grateful and very friendly and shook my hand and left and thought that was the end of the transaction. Next day, he messages me, and this starts out pretty simple, like, hey, thank you so much for the great deal, because I had dropped the price considerably because I knew that it out here wasn't going to sell very well. So he got a really good deal. He's like, thank you so much for the great deal. I really appreciate it. I love it. It looks beautiful in my home. Really appreciate it if you come across anything like that. Keep me in mind. I was like, for sure, I will. No problems. Thanks again. I appreciate you coming out and picking it up and driving through traffic, blah, blah, blah. And then it starts getting weird because he's continuing on. He's like asking about my personal life a little bit. Nothing crazy, but just like, so I know you said you live there with your girlfriend, because at the time she's my girlfriend. I was like, yeah. And he's like, hey, I hope this doesn't come off weird, but I was wondering. Doobie's laughing because he knows he's heard bits of this story. He's like, hey, I hope this doesn't come off weird, but I was wondering if I could buy your dirty underwear. And that's how he put it. And I swear again on a stack of Bibles this story is true. So at this point, I'm a little creeped out. I'm like, ooh. Mostly because he also knows where I live, because he came to my house to pick up this trifold door. But I had been working in restaurants and around people my entire life. And I immediately saw the fun that I could have with this conversation and see how deep this down this rabbit hole this goes. And I said, I'm sorry, that's just not something I'm interested in. And he's like, no, but seriously, he's like, you are the most beautiful man I have ever seen in my entire life. And I got to give him credit for that. I mean, at that point, I was pretty handsome. This was probably at least 8 years ago. Because The shop wasn't open yet, and I think I was still out of. I think I was still working at Stuff Pizza, so I was buying and selling storage units occasionally. And he's like, I just want. And I think he mentioned something because as I was loading up, I was sweating. He's like, I could just smell you, and it just was intoxicating or something like that. And I would just love to buy your dirty underwear. I promise they won't. I promise they won't leave my possession or something like that. And so I'm like, well, you know what? I appreciate it. That's really nice of you. I said, but I actually don't wear underwear. Because I wanted to see how far this was going to go. Meanwhile, my girlfriend is mortified. She's like, stop messaging him. This is disgusting. I can't believe this is going. I can't believe you're egging him on. And he said, well, I tell you what, I will buy you whatever underwear you want. And then you just wear it for a few days and then send it to me. I'll pay for the underwear. I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for your time and your effort. The only thing I didn't get into is how much he was willing to pay. Because at that point, it started getting... even then, I was like, all right, at this point, I'm out. I'm like, this is just beyond creepy. And so I contacted eBay or something, and they blocked him, and I blocked him. But that, I think, is the... And he never showed up again, and I never heard anything about him. But I'm a little remiss. I think that I could have made a lot of extra money there. I mean, I could still be selling my dirty underwear.
That was definitely a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Imagine all of the... I wonder if there's a market for that. Like, just selling dirty underwear. Because if you could, imagine all the dirty underwear we find in storage units. That's good money. I've often said that if there was a market, and I'm sure there is, but I'm not part of it. If there was a market for used porn and used sex toys,
I would be a dirty rich man.
I'd be way in the money right now.
I would own that market. It's unbelievable how much this actually this tweaker unit, not tweaker, but the veterans unit. I saw something for the first time that I hadn't seen, and this kind of was a little. This was a little, almost as weird to me, maybe not quite as weird as the dirty underwear story, but there was a box, and it was a specific box with just two things in it. It was a stack of Bibles and four sex toys. I felt that was weird to box those together. I don't know why you would put those, it was just weird to see those together. I was like, wow, that's crazy. But sex toys and used porn, I can't imagine how much money I could make if we could sell that. And I suspect there probably is a market for it. I don't know that I want to be in it. I found a unit. This is the first year I opened the shop. And the unit had quite a bit of pornography in it, magazines mostly. And I think there were maybe some DVDs and stuff. And at this point, I was like, wow, this is actually rare. I looked it up, and I was like, some of this is pretty rare porn. I guess at that point, there was a market. And it wasn't highly valuable, a couple bucks here and there, 10, 15 bucks. And so I held it in the shop just in case. I was like, well, maybe someone will come in and ask if I have, like, vintage porn kind of stuff or vintage, like, because people collect vintage Playboy, and that's fine, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing. And so I had it, and this old German dude came in, and he asked me in his thick German accent, do you have any pornography? And I was like, and at this point, there was nobody else in the shop, so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I was like, yeah, hang on a second, I got a stack. And so I go and grab it, and I hand it to him, and he's sitting there at the counter, and I figured, you know, you think that if somebody comes in and he's kind of looking around, you can see him doing the eye look around to see who's around while he's asking this. So he's trying not to be as shady as well, or at least not as open as possible. You'd be quick about it and thumb through it. No, this dude went through these magazines for a good 30 minutes. And by this point, I had now had customers coming in the shop, and now I'm starting to be like, oh my God, what have I done to my shop? This family, this mother and father and two kids are coming in, and I got this creepy old guy at the counter going through pornography. And he ended up buying something or other, and after that, I threw away all the porn and all of the, and anything along those lines, I don't even carry in the shop because I don't want to deal with that again. But he ended up coming back in like a month later and asking if I still had some of it, and I was like, no, I have nothing. I'll never carry it again. It's not coming in my shop ever. So, yeah, the completely mental misadventures of owning a used porn shop.
But I digress. Going back to the original statement of me being the Pablo Escobar of used sex toys.
I have found fleshlights. I have found dildos as long as my arm. And I suspect that those are probably more of gag gifts. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. I have to firmly believe that some of them have to be gag gifts. Maybe someone out there would like to dispute that with me. I don't know, but feel free to drop us a line if you want to dispute the use of a 3-foot dildo with a 5-inch circumference.
Going back to the veterans unit I did last week with the one box of Bibles and dildos, I don't understand why you would keep those together. They seems like they should be kept separate.
I mean, I guess they kind of go hand in hand usually, because they're usually in your nightstand dresser drawer. And that's what you keep in your nightstand dresser drawer, your dildos and your Bible. It just seems odd to me that is what goes down. But you said that you recently found a delicious little unit.
Yeah, actually, the last four I found a pocket pussy.
Nice. I've never found a pocket pussy. I have found fleshlights, several fleshlights.
Next one, I found a penis pump.
I've had a couple penis pumps. I was surprised because I just thought that was a gag from Austin Powers, and that's all that ever was. There was a market for them, but I didn't realize that the market still existed. I can't imagine. I find it weird to me. That seems weird to me. I mean, even if you have what you consider to be a small penis, I think I would rather have a small penis than take the chance of blowing a blood vessel or something and then having a no penis. Small penis is better than no penis out there, boys. Just remember that.
And then the last two, I found dildos, but the one dildo I found was probably as big as my arm, and if you know me, I'm rather a large human being.
Doobie's a big guy.
So that dildo was pretty freaking huge.
Was it in the shape of, I love this episode, this is going to be my new favorite episode, was it in the shape of a penis or in the shape of an arm? Because I've seen the ones where it's like you want to say baby's arm, but it's not a baby's arm, it's like a teenager's arm.
Oh, I haven't even seen those. This was a penis with balls.
Oh, nice. I've seen the ones that are like Fight the Power Black Panther fists.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, it was, and I felt uncomfortable just holding it. with gloves. Actually, no, there's the creepy part. I do not use gloves in storage units. My thoughts on that are, since we're in the desert, anything that would be surviving or alive is going to be long dead by the time that it gets to me. There's no bacteria or viruses that's going to survive in that environment, especially in 120 degrees. And if it's a parasite, they have to have something to live off of or they're going to die, so they'll be long dead. There's nothing alive in a storage unit, so they'll be long dead. The only thing I really worry about are probably silverfish, and they're not invasive to humans. So, I very rarely use gloves, and I'm going to knock on wood on that, because I'm sure now that I said that, I'm going to regret that. I have seen, I just thought of something that tags along with this episode, and I find it to be very interesting, but we'll get to that in a minute. I have found, so in the pornography world, I found every kind of porn you could possibly imagine.
gay porn, group porn, animal porn. I've seen animal porn. Donkeys and horses are usually the go-to. I have seen group porn. I've seen underage porn. And I don't know if I should be doing something with that, because at that point, I mean, it's clearly child pornography, but I don't know if I should turn that into the authorities, but I don't know what that's going to do, because whoever storage unit that was is probably not around anyway, you know, so I usually just throw it away and move on with my life. But I did find something that ties into that child porn, which is very interesting. I found it to be very interesting. I also found it to be very disgusting and horrific on the human level, but very interesting on a psychological level. So what I found is a kite. If you know what a kite is a letter that one prisoner in jail will send to another prisoner. It's called a kite. That's how they send messages back and forth. And this was a letter from one prisoner to another prisoner, and it was a new inmate was sending this letter to another inmate had been in prison system for a while, and he couldn't understand why the other prisoners hated him so much and why they continually beat him. He was in solitary for most of his time in there. He'd only been in a short while, and he had the most immaculate handwriting I've ever seen. And of course, if you know anything about writing kites or anything, you have a very limited supply of pen and paper. So his writing was tiny. Like, I almost had to get a magnifying glass to read it, but it was perfect. His penmanship was incredible. And so it's just one sheet of paper, and it's the front and the back of the sheet of paper in microscopic writing. But he was in for child molestation, and he couldn't understand why the other prisoners hated him so much, because he felt that he hadn't done anything wrong, because he loved that, I think it was a boy, and so he was writing to another person that had been in jail for the same thing, child molestation, and he didn't understand. He's like, we're all in here together, and I didn't do anything wrong, it's just love kind of thing. And it was just, to me, it was interesting to read it from a psychological standpoint, to know that somehow he made it this far in his life where he thought that that was okay, and still couldn't justify the fact that it was bad, and then he couldn't justify the fact that being in prison and getting his ass beat every day, and he feared for his life, which obviously he should, but it was just interesting that there was no remorse there. So, pretty interesting. I have that kite somewhere. I saved it just because it's one of those weird things. You hear about it, but you don't really believe it. You know, you don't believe that it's actually that deep or that it runs that realistically. So, that's kind of a downer on the porn side, but what else have I? Handcuffs, furry cuffs, whips, chains, leather outfits. And I guess some of that doesn't surprise me, since we're in the greater Palm Springs area. Some of that is expected. Is unfortunately the right word? I don't know if unfortunately is the right word, but I expect to see that and find that. And I'm never, very rarely am I ever let down. I can't remember the last unit that didn't have porn in it. The $6 clothing unit didn't have porn. But prior to that, the jewelry one with all the amber and the tarot cards, that didn't have porn in it. But the cop unit with all of the G.I. Joes, that had porn in it. I find a lot of Polaroids.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of Polaroids.
I haven't found any since my first storage unit, like 10 years ago.
Yeah. We really should look into, like you said earlier, there's got to be like a porn store around here that'll give you 50 cents a DVD or something.
Yeah, because I probably have about 400 DVDs right now.
See, I just throw them all away. I never really thought about holding on to them because I didn't know. Because I didn't know after the German dude came in the shop, I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't want to be a part of that world. I remember looking online and trying to see if there was like a buyback place or somebody that would buy back your porn, and I couldn't find anything. It wasn't worth my time. But I couldn't find anything. And then sex toys. I suspect there's a stigma involved in that. People don't want to buy used sex toys. It's not as easy to buy a used sex toy as it is to buy a pair of used Nikes.
Yeah, definitely not as easy. I mean, what do? You walk up to somebody at the spot, hey, you got anything in the back?
Well, I'm thinking more like, well, clearly the dude came into my shop and asked me that, so he had no problem doing it. Wouldn't you have to, like, if you were at the swap meet, just put one item out? And then, because you're trolling at that point. So once you get a fish on the line, you know as soon as they, A, either look at it closely, or B, they're going to be like, oh, he's got one thing, maybe he's got more. So I think that's, you don't have to put a lot of it out there. And maybe you put one of those weird things out there that you don't even know, that most people wouldn't know what it is. Like you put Benoit balls out or something, and most people aren't going to know what that is. And then the people that do know are going to be like, oh, that's the secret door. You just have the secret handshake kind of thing. Maybe we could start our own underused sex toy. Because realistically, it should be, once you get rid of the stigma of it, it would be a lot cleaner than wearing somebody's dirty shoes. I mean, I guess you're wearing socks for the most part, but you're looking at me like I'm creepy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I can justify putting on shoes. I can't justify the other thing.
But that's what I'm saying, is you're realistically, you can disinfect and clean a sex toy a lot easier than you can disinfect and clean a pair of shoes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you can go buy the spray that you get at bowling alleys, but I'm pretty sure that's probably not doing as nearly as good a job as an antibacterial soap on a dildo.
All right, point taken.
But you still have to get past that fact that this has been inside somebody else. Which makes it a little more difficult, I suppose. I wouldn't know. I think I shut Doobie down. He's got nothing to say. You can see his face right now. He's pretty red. That's good stuff. I can't think of anything else to talk about on the porn, or I haven't seen anything like, Nothing too deep into the whips and chains. I have seen like Cat and Nine Tails and stuff like that, but nothing. I found a couple of furry costumes, but I don't know if they were furry costumes or animal costumes. And I didn't find anything else in the unit that would make you believe that it was one or the other. So.
My mom, I've talked about this previously on other episodes. My mom loves to go through storage units. My grandmother used to love to do it as well when she'd come out. And one story I have about this is I knew that my mom was coming out. She was flying out. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a storage unit for her to dig through while we were in town, or while she was in town. So I bought the storage unit. It was a big storage unit. It was at 10 by 30 in Palm Springs. And I had pre-searched it a little bit. And I knew that there was a ton of porn. It was actually a really interesting unit with a lot of electronics and a lot of Marantz receivers, which were fantastic for me, and actually a Marantz turntable. So I made a lot of money in the unit. But there were four or five suitcases, or briefcases, actually. And every briefcase had pornography or magazine, dirty magazines in it, and filled to the brim, really, really heavy. But I knew they were in there, so I left them there because I wanted to see my mom's face when she opened them up. And because if you know my mom, which I know none of you do, she's a funny lady, but pornography is certainly not her thing. So I just kind of wanted to see what her reaction would be. And she played it off very, very well. She's like, oh, look, porn, this is for you. And threw it to me and just kept moving along. And then she'd get to the next box. She's like, boy, this guy loved his pornography. It was fantastic. It was not the reaction I was expecting. She rolled with it. I didn't expect her to roll with it because she is pretty punchy and quick on the fly. So it was very entertaining, and that's my last porn story.
But this is a shorter version, but I think it's a very important episode for the Completely Mental Misadventure, because everybody out there, if you were buying storage units, you know, you and I we're all in the same boat. It's the unspoken porn and sex toy world. So somebody out there needs to figure out how to get rid of the stigma involved with used sex toys and used pornography and figure out how to sell it. When you do that, please message us and contact us at finderslq@gmail.com. No, but don't message me with all of your porn sites and send me links to things. I'm not interested. I'm not looking for it. I'm looking to sell it. I'm not looking to buy it. Message us at finderslq@gmail.com or on Instagram, finders_thrift and finders_vinyl, or of course Doobie. Make sure if he's a buyer, for all of this stuff. He's Doobie, and on Instagram DOOOBIE. As always, thank you so much for listening, and good luck out there. Happy hunting.
Later, guys. Dirty.